Welcome to Discovering Responsible Wealth. This is your host, Frank Congelos. It's a pleasure to be with you this week. Hard to believe we are, through the summer. Hopefully everybody had a great Labor Day weekend, nice long week, and, or a nice short week for us at the work side, but a nice long weekend last week. So it's great to be with all of you again this week. Through the month of September. September nationally is Life Insurance Awareness Month. And I know when some people hear that, they go, oh, life insurance, I hate that topic. But the reality is it is an important topic. There's a lot of material here, and it's probably one of the misunderstood and one of the most confusing areas of finance that you can deal in. It's interesting. Proverbs 17, tells us that of what use is money in the hands of fools when they don't have the heart to acquire wisdom. So, when we think in terms of life insurance, it's, we want to make sure that we're leaving money properly. We want to make sure that, we're helping people to acquire wisdom. And, that's really what our show is about when we talk about responsible wealth. So to work with us this morning is one of my co-hosts and one of my partners over at CNA Financial Group, David Suki. Dave, pleasure to have you on the show this week. Good to see you.
Thanks, Frank. Good to see you.
So welcome back. I know Dave had some time off the last week of
summer
there.
Oh, yeah.
He was out with the kids. So
that was the hardest work I did all summer. it was fun, though.
It's all good. And, it's interesting is, I kid with that, and I say, because it is Life Insurance Awareness Month, is, the fact that you're with your family, I was with my family, when we talk about life insurance is one of those topics where it's a heart product. It's a product that you have to love somebody or some organization or a purpose enough that you care enough about them that when you're not there, you want to make sure that you didn't impact them negatively and that you left them okay, especially if they're dependent upon you.
That's correct.
So with that being said, I figured what we'd do today, because we have the whole month to talk on this topic, and so it's like, and for our listeners, no, we are not going to beat a dead horse. What we're going to do is we're going to talk about on today's show, we're going to talk about some of the uses of insurance so that you're doing it for the right reason. And then on the next shows and possibly even part of this show, we'll get into how to get the right amount so that you get the number right. And then we're going to talk about the right types because it can be very confusing out there. So, as we talk about uses and so forth, Dave, I know that you talk to people every day. You're doing the same thing that I'm doing, mm-hmm. As far as visiting with clients. We're advising them. We're coaching them. We're helping them make good decisions. So what is it, that your conversations are typically sounding like? Has it around the world of insurance, as it relates to life insurance? What's the conversation there?
It's not a topic that most of us are well-educated in, and nor do we like discussing it, right, Frank? When you hear the word insurance, immediately you think of expense, you think of, cost, right? And years ago when you taught me about insurance and the industry teaches you about insurance, there was a difference. The way you taught it and the way the industry taught it actually was different, Frank, for a lot of years. I mean, I think they're starting to catch on. But the reality is it's based out of love, not out of fear. And when you speak about protecting assets, life insurance specifically is typically protecting our greatest asset, right? We're value creators, Frank. We create value in life. Hopefully, the more value we create, the more we got to protect, right? So when we're talking to, families or clients about life insurance specifically, it's determining, hey, what am I protecting? If I'm protecting me, what is my income? Okay, or what we refer to as what is my human life value? Okay, and there's books written on the topic. You could Google it and see. There's, you can identify what it is based on your age and the amount of income that you make. And then if you're in a situation of determining how to, get to a number, okay, that's not always easy, but there's typically rules of thumb, all right? The younger you are, the bigger the number, right? So usually, Frank, there's this formula. We use, if you're in your 20s, it's typically 30 times your annual income. If you're in your 30s, it's 20 times, okay? If you're in your 40s, it could be 10, 50s, 5. And those are just rules of thumb. They're not exact sciences. And the closer you get to retirement age, it's typically an asset conversation.
It's interesting, Dave, is, my being 30 years in the business and so forth, and for our listeners, yes, I did start when I was 10. So my spending 30 years in the business, one of the things that people have a hard time with is that we put psychologically the term cost in our decision-making process. And what I'm not suggesting is that cost is not important. Cost has relevance in this. But the reality is that, you know, and we'll get into another shows, you can get the right amount of insurance for very low cost. Okay, you don't have to spend a lot of money to do it. So that's a whole nother topic, but it's most important that you have the right coverage. And when we talk about the right coverage, you know, it'd be like, you know, it was a couple of years ago we had Hurricane Sandy. And so, you know, if you thought about it, if you can go out the day before the storm with Hurricane Sandy and you could have bought insurance, would you have been looking for like, all right, I understand that there may only be 30-mile-an-hour winds, so I want only insurance up to 30-mile-an-hour winds. And then when it came in at 90 miles an hour, or, all right, I understand that there's flood insurance and that there's flood insurance for up to 2 feet of water or 6 feet of water, 8 feet of water. It's like, so I want the cheapest one. Give me the one for 6 inches of water. And then when your house got trashed and your stuff got wiped out, you had a loss. So with insurance, it's the same thing. So when Dave talks about, you know, it's to replace income and it's a percentage of income, we'll get into more of that number, but don't shut it down based upon costs, because, you know, it's, we always say it's better to have it and not need it than to need it and not have it. And you'll figure out the cost side of it later, and we'll get into that later in the month.
And I think, Frank, the industry for years has beaten us up as consumers on cost, meaning it's all price-driven. The commercials on television, the internet ads, if you pop up a website, you know, buy this product for this amount of per month or $5 a, you know, a week, you know. So there's constant marketing, and it's rare there's good education. It's more of product, market, sell, that type of stuff.
Exactly.
And that's where I don't blame consumers for you get frustrated, like, oh, you know, how much of this do I really need to deal with?
And for, you know, a lot of people that are listening, you know, it's interesting because it's like, you know, and I hear the term, oh, I'm betting against myself. And, you know, although the chances of something happening to you may be 1 in 100, okay? But what if you are the one? Okay, you know, it was interesting, and Dave, I don't know if, I did tell you this earlier today, so I'll share this with my listeners. So I have an old truck at home. And so, you know, over the weekend, you know, I'm driving the truck, and I'm getting close to my house, and I'm pulling up on a light, and I go to hit the brakes. Yeah. The brake pedal went to the floor, and I had no brakes. And so kind of at that moment, you know, you sit there and you go, it's like, whoa, this is a problem. And, you know, with the grace of God, I was fine. You know, I was able to, you know, get the truck to, you know, kind of, you know, one point stop and so forth. And, you know, again, thank God I was fine. But the reality is at that moment, anything could have happened. I had no idea that those brakes weren't going to work, that pedal was going to go right to the floor. Okay. You don't know. You know, and that fact that you don't know, I don't get to say, time out. I need to go and check my stuff and make sure I did everything
right
in advance.
Before it happened, yeah.
It was one of those of what I did up until that moment could have been a lock that the rest of my family and all the people that I love and care about and everything, whatever that decision was that I made up till then, they would have had to live with that for the rest of their lives. So when we talk about insurance, that's really the perspective of that, which is we don't know. And nobody knows on insurance because, by the way, if you did know, they wouldn't give you the insurance. It's just how the insurance company works. You know, it's kind of like, all right, I know that I only got 6 months or I got this. If I walked in, they're going to say, oh, no.
Sorry.
Once you know, you're going to have that claim. No good. Yeah. Okay. They want to insure when you don't know. Okay. And that's really what it's about. So when you think in terms of insurance, it is that heart product when you look at it. And there's several reasons to get it and so forth, which we'll spend a little bit more time in just a minute. But I want to make sure that we have the right context so that, you know, you have the right mindset when you're thinking in terms of life insurance. I hate the topic. Why do I want to do it? And then so that's really what we're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. And, Frank, it's been something that's been around for hundreds of years, right? It's not new to the
right
to a situation, right? But it is a challenging topic because of the fear of being sold, right? Because of the fear of being feared into, oh, you need to have this, what, you're stupid if you don't, that type of
I blame
context.
The industry.
That's what I mean about how different it was when I first entered it.
Because the industry, what they do is when somebody enters into it, they have two types of training that goes on. It's called sales training. Sales training is creating what, AKA, also known as the need.
Yeah.
And sales training often is very manipulative. So what happens is they create this illusion of a need, or they create the need, and the need was there from the beginning, you know, as far as if you should have it or not. But then there's product selling that goes on. So it's sales training and product training that goes on, and people oftentimes are not always offered the right product for their circumstances, which we'll get into in later shows. So our thing is let's just focus on, you know, what it is that you want to have insurance for, why it makes some sense. And then in the future shows throughout the course of the month, we'll get into amounts and types and so forth and how to fit it into a budget. So, you know, with that in mind, you know, I would say, you know, Dave, you started on, you know, a certain time, you know, a number of times your income. And the reason why we're doing that, or why you look at that, is because you need it to replace income.
That's correct. Cash flow, right?
It's cash flow. That's exactly it. You know, it's, and the easiest way to kind of envision that, and Dave, you mentioned a term, you call it human life value. Okay, so I like a term. I use it like cap rate. So cap rate means capitalization rate, which is if I was going to assess an investment, like such as a piece of real estate, I would say, hey, that $100,000 investment property that I own or that I buy is going to generate $10,000 a year for me. So that's 10%.
Yep.
Okay. So I would look at that and say, well, what's the value of that property to me if I lost it, if it burned to the ground? So I would want full replacement value, which is what Dave just said a little while ago. So when we think in terms of insurance, we want to get full replacement value, or our personal cap rate.
That's right.
So
one, and we all have one.
Without question. And one of the things that you said, Dave, was when you're very young, it's a very high number. And maybe you can just elaborate, why is the number so high when you're young?
Well, future years till, you know, let's say our assets were of a position where they were strong enough to replace cash flow. Or the fact that, you know, retirement, you know, thinking in terms of that. So myself, 39 years old, right, still below 40, Frank, thank you. Well, you know, there's 25 to maybe 30 more years of earnings that my family's gonna live with, gonna live on, right? However, we you know, being a good steward of your money. So, how do I replace that in an immediate situation? How much money's needed up front today in today's dollars to make sure that cash flow would continue to my family, right? Okay. And there's been studies done on it, Frank. This isn't something that Dave Sook or Frank Congelos just sat in a room and figured out. There's economic studies on it. You know, a lot of people we know, because of the area we live in, when 9/11 hit, with Wall Street firms and people in those buildings going down, you know, people got educated a little bit on that, because the checks that were rewarded to the families were based on human life values. What was their earnings?
Lost wages.
So that education, understanding that, gives you at least the context to operate in that says, I know what I'll need to replace if I, you know, or what the replacement value of my situation would be.
And it shouldn't be, you know, because I'll you know, oftentimes I'll visit with a young couple and we'll chat a little bit, and they'll say, well, I just need to cover the mortgage. Well, no, it's not really just to cover the mortgage, because it's one of those of, you know, and some people will go, well, you know, what about remarriage? What about this? What about that? You know, what's interesting is like, you know, we happen to live in a society where, you know, unfortunately there's a high divorce rate. And if somebody should remarries, they should remarry, but for the right reason, not because they had to,
right,
that it was out of a financial necessity, that all of a sudden it was like, let's see if I got this straight. I've got a young family, lost a breadwinner in a house. Then we have, you know, that person has to go and find somebody else that may take care of them. So adjustment for the wife, adjustment for the kids, or husband and for the kids. The next thing you know is then we ended up that we got married for the wrong reason. And now we got a divorce going on. It's like, these poor kids and this poor family is like, what are they going through? And it all could have been solved for just having made the right decision on the right amount.
And for each of us, it's individual decisions, Frank. We see this, doing this a long time now, right? I'm 16 years now doing this. Different people see the world differently.
Yes.
We all see, you know, and some, they protect to the max. You know, you see that client said, you know what? I protect my assets. I protect my family. I protect everything I'm doing. Okay. Some choose to take on the risk themselves, right? They don't choose to protect to the max. I think the job of an advisor is to educate and coach and say, here's the right way to figure this out. And then the job of the consumer is to say, what can I live with, or what do I want to do in my situation?
Correct.
And it becomes an interesting balance, right, Frank? Because you've been in those conversations of education and people start saying things that are really out of alignment with who they are. A person that's, you know, Christian-based, has a family and is living a life, all of a sudden says, well, she could get remarried. It's typically an emotional response, not an educated response.
We're not acting out of love.
We're acting out of, I don't know, you know, what is this going to cost me, really? There's typically something else around that answer.
You know, because it's interesting, is, you know, we would always say to people, if there was no cost, how much would you have?
Right.
And then all of a sudden, as well, as much as I can get. Well, now we're talking about, okay, well, let's look at what the right number is.
Yeah, and if a third party was going to pay for it, you know, I mean, we say if the government was going to do it or if, you know, somebody else was going to do it, you probably wouldn't answer the way, well, she could get remarried, so we don't need it. You know, that usually wouldn't be the response.
Exactly. So with that in mind, you know, the first, you know, point is, you know, we're doing it to replace income. And then the second point, which is a very simple concept, is we do it to replace assets, which is to say that if you have insurance in place, you want to replace that asset. So whether you want to use the asset, leave an asset, or whatever the case might be, insurance is really, and it's a very simple concept, it's buying money at a discount at a time where it may come needed, where it was unexpected. So that's really what's behind it.
Yep.
So for all of our listeners, you've been listening to Dave Suki, and this is Frank Congelos of Discovering Responsible Wealth. Our topic today has been around the subject of life insurance, and we've been talking about the purpose and really trying to set the context of where we're going for the rest of the month, which is let's not get hung up on numbers on insurance. Let's focus on getting the right amount of insurance, which should be the amount appropriate to replace what we refer to as your human life value, which is your human life value is, again, what your earnings are going to be over your lifetime. So if you have questions, you could write to us at the Institute of Responsible Wealth, 2431 Atlantic Avenue, Manasquan, New Jersey, 08736, or you can email us at info@ivrw.com. Thank you and have a blessed week.